before we start the parsha, I want to talk a little more on the Gemara. We spoke a lot about Mammon Bailim, Korbanos, Mammon Gavoya, Maaseh Sheinis, Mammon Gavoya. So we gave Rav Chaim's presentation with all of his hoichoches. So some of the hoichoches, I didn't show you where they are. Let's see. One Eichocha is, we said from Perek Merubah, the din is that if a ganef steals, he's chayv kefal. A gazon is not chayv kefal, only a ganef. And then if the ganef is tovach hamocha, shor aseh, chamisha boki shalom tachas ha-shor ba'arba tzon tachas ha-seh. So the Gemara says that the mochar is lav davke mochar, if nosan b'matana is also mochar. And not only nosan b'matana to a head yot, the Gemara has a lashon on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph right before the Mishnah. Mali mechora lehedyot, mali mechora lashamayim. If nosan to a hedyot is chayev by shor v'aseh, so if you magdish it lagavoya is also gone of a higdish, you're ready chayev dalad behe. You're ready chayev dalad behe because mali mechora lehedyot, mali mechora lashamayim. So this poses a problem because the Gemara before says that Mekor Tura Deruvim V'Hashta Tura Deruvim. Where was that? Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says if you were the wrong daf. Yeah, it is the right daf. Right, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, right before the two dots. So the Gemara says Mekor Tura Deruvim V'Hashta Tura Deruvim. If Reuven has an animal that is Magdish Shitla Mizbeach as a korban, so there's no shini reshus. It's not gone of a mochar. That's not mochar. So these two gemaras contradict each other. Here it says by being magdish, it's not called mochar. I involve him in alpha. Here the gemara says mali mechora lehedyot, mali mechora lashamayim. So Tosfos and most of the rishonim say that it's not a contradiction. But it depends. Was he magdishit leberek habayis or was he magdishit lekorban? It's magdishit leberek habayis. Leberek habayis is mamon hegdish bikinyona. That's what Tosfos says on the top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Mali mechor lehedyin, mali mechor lashamayim. Ve'ayri, that's the top Tosfos on Ayin Tes. Ve'ayri bekot shebedek habayis, to the shaykh lemeimim bekor to a deruvim, hashta to a deruvim, k'mo bekot shemizbeach. By korbanos, he say, mekor to a deruvim, hashta to a deruvim. But we say the korbanos amam gavaya. So that's a malitza. That's what we assume. That's a malitza. It means that you're restricted with what you have the right to do with the korban, because it'll be a bizayin akdusha if you're going to sell it, if you're going to be makadosh anisha with the carbon, it's a bizayin akdusha. So that's what we mean when we say that it's mama gavoy. Then there's also a famous comment on the opening Mishnah in Merubah. Mishnah says that whoever steals is chayiv, a ganav is chayiv kefal, a gazlan is not chayiv kefal, but you only chayiv kefal if you steal from Hedyot. You don't pay kefal to Hegdish. Where is it? Where is it? Hebreyehu v'loy Hegd. Oh, it's a brisa in the Gemara. So Bryce Minahalamil is about 15 lines from the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Beis on the first Amud in Perek Merubah. So Gemara has Tana Rabbanon. I called Rapesha Shain Yotzu Karkos to be still Karkain and Nixelas Yotzu Karkos Shaini Matam Yotzu Abon Mugusha Karkos Yotzu Shtor is Engufa Mama Yotzu Hegdish. If he's still Hegdish, you're not chayv to pay Kefal Dalabah because it says Reyehu Ksiv. So you see that if you still hegdish, you're not chayiv kefal dalvehe because of the pasuk re'ehu. So the top Tosfos on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So it says on this side Shaych Le'el Amud Beis. That's so funny. If you take a look there, on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, they write Shaych Le'el with two dots. It means Shaych Le'el Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Tosfos didn't fit on Samach Beis Amud Beis, so they printed on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Brisa says you learn that the tur hegdish. If a ganav steals from Hegdish, he doesn't pay kefal dal v'hei. So that's based on the pasuk re'ehu. So Tosfos has a kasha that the Gemara later on learns it out from a different pasuk. V'mtaymar l'kamon nafkalam et pirkan ein vavam et aleph l'mayit hegdish miguna mibeso ish v'lo mibeso hegdish. From the word mibeso ish, not from Reyehu. So why do you need two different psukim? So Tosfos says, no, that's not two psukim, really the pasuk is Reyehu. We say in Oz Yashar, Hashem ish mochama. So the word ish can apply to hegdish also. Hashem ish mochama. Ish doesn't necessarily mean a human being. Gunim Beisu Ish means whoever the Beisu Ish is, as defined earlier in the Parsha. Earlier in the Parsha says Reyehu. So if it's Hegdish, it's not Gunim Beisu Ish. But there aren't two different psukim. That's what they says. It's only one drasha. You don't need two psukim. So you look in the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam and Hilchas in Eva, the Rambam quotes the both psukim. Rambam quotes both of the psukim. Where is it? The beginning of Perik Beis and Hilchas Geneva. Perik Beis Aloch Aleph. So the Lecha Mishnah points out on the Rambam. Oh, the Rambam came to answer Tosfos' kasha. Why do you need two different psukim? And Tosfos says it's not true. There's only one pasuk. So he says the Rambam answers it. If you read the Rambam slowly, the Rambam answers. What did the Rambam answer? So the Lecha Mishnah has one suggestion. What the Rambam answered. If you look in the Rambam, it doesn't sound like he said that. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, no, you read the Rambam is beferish. Re'ehu tells you that you can talk about stealing Hegdash, two kinds of Hegdash. Did he steal Berek HaBayis or did he steal Kachim Mizbech? So if you steal Berek HaBayis, that belongs to Hegdash. So if you would pay kefil, who would you pay the kefil to? You'd pay the kefil to the Hegdash. So that's a pasuk. Yishalim shnayim le'reyehu, le'reyehu v'lo le'hegdash. You'd never pay kefil dal v'hei to hegdash. But if you steal a carbon, that's mikara tura d'rubin, mahashta tura d'rubin. So if you would pay kefil, you would pay the kefil to the bala carbon, not the hegdash. Mamon gavoya means you're restricted what you have the right to do with it. You can't take it till and throw it on the floor. It has kedusha. It's a bizoin akdusha. So you can do whatever you want to. But you don't say the tefillin is mama gavoya. You don't go so far. But the karbonis is so restricted, so we call it mama gavoya. But it really does belong, it belongs to the bala korban. It doesn't belong to hegdish. So there you have a different pasuk. We're going to base ish, we're going to base hegdish. If the thing is hegdish, you're putter from paying kefal dal v'hei, even though the payment is going to be l'reyehu. The two different psukim. One goes on Kachim Mizbech, one goes on Kachim Berek HaBayis. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. The Rambam quotes the both psukim. He holds not like Tosfos, that you only need one pasuk. You need two psukim, because they go in two different cases. So the Lecha Mishnah gives it a little differently. Rab Chaim reads the Rambam Kipshuta, that one goes on Kachim Mizbech, and one goes on Kachim Berek HaBayis. So that's what led Rab Chaim to his whole interpretation. That Rambam, and that Tosfos said, but Gona v'higdish, whether you say Mali Mechor l'hedim, Mali Mechor l'ashamayim, or you say Meikor to Ruben, Hashda to Ruben. So we distinguish, most of the Rishonim distinguish between Kachim Mizbech and Kach Berek HaBayis. That will lead him to believe that when you say that Karbonas Amam Gavoya, Maaseh Shein is Bam Gavoya, it's not to be taken literally. And that's why the Gemara has it with Gzeres HaKasas, with Psukim. So the Gemara had there was a Rabbi Yosef Glili has a contradiction between the two psukim. On the one hand, you have the psukim quoted in Kiddushin Daf Nun Beis Amin Beis. It's implied that Karbonas Amam Gavoya. On the other hand, you have Mala Mal Bashem, that implies that even by Karbonas there is a din of Shvuas HaPikotn. That's what we call Hashem Gzelus. So the answer must be, if it's a higher level of Kedusha, Mama Gavoya, lower level of Kedusha, it's Mama Bam. Now what's a higher level, what's a lower level? So Rabbi Yosef Glili says, oh, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim, and Kachim Kalim. Then the Gemara says, when you give him a manal, there's room to distinguish within Kachim Kalim. You should really say, Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta. You have the Pasuk, the Psukim, and Kedusha, and Dafnun Beis, that the Korbanah should be treated as Mama Gavoya. So even though you have the pasuk over here by Hashem Ne'ilot, by Hashem Gezelos, Molam Ba Bashem, that some korbanos are Mama Ba'al. Why should you say the whole category of all the Kachim Kalim? Maybe within Kachim Kalim I should distinguish higher level, lower level. So then the Gemara has a machloikis, Amoroyim from Bavil, What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So every so often people would come from Eretz Yisrael, they would tell over what Rabbi Yochanan said. So here there are two versions. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? I already forgot what's the name of the Amoraim. Ravina. Ravina Masni Lo Asef. Ravina has a different version of what Rabbi Yochanan said. So the two versions are, which has a higher level of Kedusha, Shlamim or Bechor? On the one hand, the Shlamim requires Smicha Nesach Matanufas Chaz V'Shoik, so that should be a higher level of Kachim Kalim, as opposed to Bechor doesn't require any of those three. So it has less mitzvahs, fewer mitzvahs in the Bechor. So Bechor should be a lower level of Kachim Kalim. The Shlamim should be a higher level, so it could be that Shlamim is Mamun Gavoya and Bechor is Mamun Bailim. And the other opinion, the other version in the Gemara was no, that Bechor is Kodesh Meirechem. It's Kodesh from the minute it was born. So that's why Bechor is a higher level of Kedusha, and Shlamim is a lower level of Kedusha. So those were two versions in the Gemara, which is a higher level, which is a lower level. But the both versions agree that the Maisa Behema is a higher level of Kedusha than Bechor, because of the Braisa that says, you can't sell it, you just can't be paid it. When it gets a mum kavod, it's not nitfas and pidyon, you just shecht el chutz lamigdush. And maisa behema is the same thing, but maisa behema, it says lo yigoyel. So the lo yigoyel is the same as by charamim, then it says lo yimochav lo yigoyel. So maisa behema you can't even sell. So that the Gemara says, both versions agree. That if you want to split between Maisa Behema, not if you want to split, these both versions do split between Maisa Behema and Bechor, that Maisa Behema is a higher level of Kochim Kalim, and that should be Mama Gavoya. Because the Pasuk says you can't sell it. Can't sell it means that you treat it like Mama Gavoya. And Bechor Behema Torah, that's Mama Bailam. Because Tafasta Muba Loi Tafasta, you have a Chiddush, that some of the Karbanos are Mama Bailam. An exception, the rule is the Pesukim in Kiddush and Dafnun Beis, that Karbanos are Mamun Gavoya, and the exception, the rule is Molam Abba Shem L'Rab is something. That's a Shaila, which Karbanos exactly are you Marba? So that's the whole Gemara that we learned here. And then Rabba disagreed with the whole story. The whole story began over here on Yud Beis on the Beis, commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on test on the base. Nechosim she'em bohem me'ilam. Nechosim she'em bohem me'ilam means chulin. So why do you beat around the bush? Why don't you say chulin? Head yot. Why nechosim she'em bohem me'ilam? So the Gemara thought, me'ilu hu deleis buhu amigdush kachi mantana. Oh, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan learned by Rabbi Yudah Anasi. And he claims that that's what his Rebbe meant. Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayis, and he edited in such a way to imply that the din is like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that if you mazik kachim kalim, you do pay because kachim kalim is mamun bailamein. Nechosim shem behem meila means even though it has kedusha, but all of the kachim kalim are mamun bailam. So if you mazik kachim kalim, you would have to pay. And Rava, that's Rabbi Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael. And Rava lives in Babel. He said doesn't see that Rava didn't learn by Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yochanan learned by Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yochanan says that's what the Rebbe meant by that lashon. And then Gemara quotes Rav Amar at the beginning of the line, "Mein chasam shem b'amir, chasam shem b'amdin meila manin a hedyot." Yeah, it doesn't mean that. Rabbi Yudah Anasi didn't mean to be medayik anything over here. It's interesting, an argument between Rabbi Yochanan, who was a talmid of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, and Rabbi who never saw Rabbi Yudah Anasi. He says that he didn't mean anything. Strange. Okay. And the Rambam, there are stiris. The Rambam, there are problems. Whether the Rambam, Lecha Mishnah points out, every year someone prints a Shnigal Torah on this topic. Exactly how does the Rambam paskin? Does he all coach Mechal Mims Mamun Balam, not Mamun Balam? So there's stiris all over the place. Maisesheni is also a problem because, what did we say the other day? The Gemara says there in Psochem and Daflam and Ches, in the Sukkah, if you made Isush on Maisusheni, if the din would be like Reb Meir, that Maisusheni Mam and Gavoya, then it would be Potter, because Hegdish is Potter. We would call it Hegdish. And if Maisusheni is Mam and Bailim, Machleks Ameir Abudit, Maisusheni is Mam and Bailim, then it's Chulin, then it's Hedyu, then it's Chayv. So the Rambam Paskin, the Gemara Paskins in the end of the second parak in Kedushin, why is the Sheni Mama Gavoya? If you're Mekadosh and Isha, it's not Chal, because my Sheni Mama Gavoya. Nonetheless, the Rambam Paskins that the Isha Shemash Sheni is Chayiv in Chal. So that's against the Gemara. So that's what the Nei said, Kalim, work hard on that. There are stiras in the Rambam regarding my Sheni, and there are stiras in the Rambam regarding Kachim Kalim also. That you got to work out, try to figure out what exactly is the klal. Okay, gotta talk a little bit about the parasha. Used to have a rebbe here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Shimon Rom. He was a very good darshan. So he, after the war was over, I think he would say he went to Mozambique after the war. Mozambique is a country in North Africa, I think. He used to say he thinks it was only founded to save the Jews. If you never heard of that country, Mozambique, when no country in the world was letting the Jews come in, when they were running away from the Nazis, so Mozambique allowed some Jews, a couple of yeshiva boys from the Mir Yeshiva, they saved their lives over there. So he went to Mozambique, then he went there to Israel for a few years, and then he came to America, and he was friendly with Dr. Belkin, so he gave a shiur in a yeshiva. He was a very learned person. He was a very good speaker. So he, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, used to be friendly with Rabbi Herzog's father-in-law, Rabbi Hillman. Rabbi Hillman had learned in Telzi Yeshiva in Europe, and then he got a rabbanus in northern England, in some little village in northern England. Rabbi Blazer Gordon, had a bad heart condition later in life. He was the founder of the Telzi Yeshiva, Rabbi Blazer Gordon. And the doctors told him that he's not allowed to travel because of his heart condition. But the yeshiva needed money, so he didn't listen to the doctors, and he went to England in order to raise money for the yeshiva. And then he got a heart attack and he died. And he was buried in England. So for many years, no one ever visited his grave. They couldn't afford, his family couldn't afford to go travel to England. Around 30 years ago, I think, people started, his family picked up in Parnassa, so they used to go visit in England, but he's buried there. So when he died, there was not the Rabbanim in England, but none of the Rabbanim knew Rabbi Blazer tells it personally. So the only one who knew him was this Rabbi Hillman, who was a dying in a little village in northern England. And he gave such a knockout hesped by the Levaya, they made him a dayan in London because of the hesped. So the hesped was based on the pasuk, and today said he gave a whole hesped saying about how great Rabbi Blazer Telza was. Rabbi Roma tells us over every year on Parshas Vayeshev, because the punchline, the hesped was at the end, the whole hesped was delivered in Yiddish. So he said, "Ki gunov gur apti me'eretz o'ivrim v'gam podo asisi miyuma ki samo osi babor." That's a pasuk in today's sedra. He said, "Ki gunov gur apti me'eretz o'ivrim." In Yiddish, they say, "I snuck out from Lithuania, where all the Jews live. Chabzacharoiz gigamvit. I snuck out against the doctor's instruction. I wasn't allowed to come. Ki gunov gur apti me'eretz o'ivrim. I left Lithuania, where all the Jews live." The Gampolo Asisi Miuma didn't raise any money. He came to England in order to raise money for the yeshiva. And now, Kisamo Asiba Bor, now they're going to bury me 6 feet under in the bor. So the Balabatim thought that was such a gewaltig conclusion of the hesped. In the schus of that hesped, they made him a dayan in London. And then, his daughter was Sarah. Had a daughter, and his daughter Sarah married Rabbi Herzog. So one of Rabbi Herzog's, Rabbi Herzog had two sons. One was the president of Medinas Yisrael. He wasn't so observant, and the other one was very learned. So the one who was very learned, he wrote a whole book and he wrote his memoirs. So he starts off his autobiography with how his parents met. So he writes that his grandfather, Rabbi Hillman, was the chief dayan in London. After that hesped, they made him the chief dayan in London. And one year, the tvua wasn't growing well, and whenever there would be, the practice used to be, whenever there would be a shnas batzoris, there wouldn't be enough food to eat on Pesach, the rabbonim would get together and there would be mekel to eat kidneys, because you had to eat something on Pesach, you can't fast. So Rabbi Hillman sent out letters to all the rabbonim, they should all gather together, they're going to discuss whether the Shas HaTchak is great enough to be Mekel on the Kitnias. So Rabbi Herzog was single, and he was a rabbi in Ireland at the time. So he came to Rabbi Hillman's home, and all the rabbanim were sitting around. So Rabbi Hillman asked his daughter Sarah to serve tea for all the guests. So when she was serving tea, she looked at this Rabbi Herzog. He was a good-looking fellow. And by accident, instead of pouring the burning hot water in the cup, she poured it on his trousers, on his knee, on his leg. And it was love at first sight. They both fell in love with each other. So that's how the book, Yaakov Herzog. Chaim Herzog was the president. He wasn't so observant. But Yaakov Herzog was the son who was learned. There was a Havamina to make him the chief rabbi of England, a Havamina to make him the chief rabbi of Medina Yisrael. But he passed away. He died young. Anyway, so that's how the autobiography begins, with the way his parents met. Medrash Rabbah has a comment on the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. Beret Mugurei Oviv, we spoke about it last week or 2 weeks ago. So the Medrash Rabbah understands Mugurei Meloshin Gerus, that Avraham Avinu was proactive to be Megayer, to go preach monotheism to the whole world. And Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were all proactive until a certain point. And then Yaakov Avinu stopped. So the Meshech Chochma said, that's what it means. Vayichanas Penehu Ir, so the Medrash says he was Kaveh Atchum Shabbos. Tchumen means you don't go chutz al yetzish mimkomo b'yom hashvi. You stay where you are. So he says, at a certain point, Yaakov Avinu stopped being proactive in converting and preaching monotheism. The Jewish people had all the Yud Beishvatim. We have to work on our children, and we have to serve as an Or LaGoyim in a passive way, not in an active way. We have to mind our own business and lead a life of integrity and honesty with a proper work ethic and so on. We should have a Medina that should be L'shem Luciferis. All the people in the parliament should be honest, and the Rav HaRoshi should not be in prison, and the Moshe HaMem Shalat should not be in prison. We haven't accomplished that yet. The Medina is not what it's supposed to be. We serve as Ola Goyim and on high tech, on other things, on ways, on other things, but we have to serve as an Ola Goyim on honesty also. Unfortunately, you have people who are sitting in prison for the longest time. Then they went back into the government. Now they're going to sit in prison again. They don't learn their lesson. So that's the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim, but in a passive way. We're not yet doing it. So that's what the Medrash has. The Eretz Megurei Aviv Miloshin Geiris. The Pasuk describes Vayov Yosef as the Bosom Ro El Avihem, that Yosef used to tell the father Loshon Hara about the brothers. Very strange. What did he tell Loshon Hara about the brothers? So this is Sefer Afike Yam. Afike Yam is by Rav. He was one of the Rabbonim in Europe years ago. He quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Yerushalmeach. He spoke and learning with all the big Talmid HaChacham of his generation, the early 1900s. So he has an essay on this pasuk. He quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, who quotes a Gemara that even though you're not allowed to tell Loshon Hara, but if it's L'Toelis L'Habo, then you are permitted to. But sometimes L'Toelis L'Habo is, I hear that someone wants to kill someone else. I have to tell the other person, watch out, he's considering killing you. Sometimes L'Toelis L'Habo is L'Toelis for the person about whom I'm telling the Loshon Hara. So the Gemara has a case, if I see, let's say, they used to have a system here in the yeshiva that they used to take attendance in the minyan. And if a student didn't attend the minyan, they would notify the Rebbe so that the Rebbe would speak to the student. So the Gemara says that maybe now it's against the law. I don't know. But that's what it used to be. It used to be like that. So the Gemara says there's no violation of Loshon Hara if you tell the Rebbe, because the Rebbe may have an influence on the student in order to be machzehem l'toivah. So the Chafetz Chaim, in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he quotes these dinim, and he gives certain conditions. So he says, if you can give tochacha to the person rather than to tell his Rebbe that the Rebbe should give tochacha, you yourself can give tochacha. So give the tochacha yourself. Then there's no need. There's no head to tell the Lashon Hara to the Rebbe. If you think that you'll give tochacha, it simply won't help. Then you're allowed to. Then you have to be careful not to exaggerate and not to misrepresent what he did. You just say exactly what he did. So that's what in the Sefer Afike Yam, so he points out, it says, V'hu nar is b'nei bilhav es b'nei zilpa nishayavit. What does it say, V'hu nar? That's to lead up to the explanation. Why did Yosef think that he has a heter to tell the father Lashon Hara? Because he was friendly with the other half-brothers. And the older brothers were not friendly with them. They were mezalzel in the Bnei HaShvachas. So Yosef figured, whatever I'm going to tell them, they're not going to listen to me. They make fun of the half-brothers from Bnei Bilhah or Bnei Zilpah. So they're not going to listen to me either. He was younger than the others, not going to listen. But that's why he felt compelled that he has to tell over the father. And that's when it says, Vayovi Yosef is dibosom ro el avihem. Why? It should say el aviv. It says a lot of times, a few times, aviv. Why does it say over here, avihem? The idea was he was telling their father, because their father can give them tochacha. Not his father. It was his father also. But the ikavort over here is the Basim Ra'el Aviyam, that the father stands a better chance of giving tochacha to the children. And that's why it says Vayove Yosef as the Basim Ra'el. Why does it say Vayove Yosef? It should say Vayisapi Yosef La'aviv. Vayisapi means that he's telling over a story. Vayove means like a person carries. I carry the tefillin from here to here and I put it down over here. Vayove means he just presented to the father exactly Dvarm Kahal Yosem about the brothers without exaggerating, without adding anything onto the story. So under such circumstances, you're permitted to give, permitted to tell Lashon Hara for the purpose of giving tochacha. The Gemara in Shabbos in the first parak points out that usually we assume that the Ovis were tzaddikim. We shouldn't interpret psukim in such a way that they did an avla, that they did something wrong. But over here, the pasuk itself implies that Yaakov Avinu did wrong. They saw Ovis Yosef Mikol Bonav. So it says in the pasuk that he did wrong. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't distinguish, you shouldn't have a favorite child. Some parents always say, we hate all the children equally. We hate all the children equally. Okay. You should love all the children equally. Okay, because we have a favorite child. Look what's going to happen. How much was the whole Ksonis Pasim? The Gemara's Ksonis Pasim wasn't $100. It was two sloin. The thing was nothing. They all needed a shirt. So he got Yosef a little fancier shirt. It was only $2 more than their shirts. And because of the two sloin, it caused such sin. So the Gemara says the Pasuk is written to tell us that one should not act like that. The brothers hated him, so they couldn't talk in a peaceful fashion. The Gemara, the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara in the end of Bracha says that when you bid farewell to a friend who's alive, so you say Lech Lishalom, because he's gonna continue to grow. When a person dies, he can't say Lech Lishalom, he's not gonna grow, he's dead. So you say Lech Bishalom. Usually that's when a person delivers a hesped. So you say the last thing it says in the hesped, Lech Bishalom. And when you speak to a living person, because he's going to grow, so you say, Lech Lishalom, and she continued to grow and have more peace. She should grow in peace. So here the brothers couldn't speak Dabro Lishalom. They wanted him to drop dead. They didn't want Yosef to grow. Why did Yosef tell the Halomis to the brothers? Well, they have to. He knew that they didn't like him. But Yisno said they hated him. Why? So the Ramban has. And why didn't Yosef, when Yosef was freed from the Beis Asurim and he became the Mishnah Melech, he became the second to the king, the prime minister of Egypt. So why didn't he send a letter to his father that I'm alive? Why didn't he go visit the father? So it's very peladic. The whole story is very peladic. So the Ramban al-Torah thinks that Yosef felt that these Chalemis were a Nevuah, and he felt that he has to see to it that the Nevuah should be Mekuyim. So if the father is going to know, if they're going to know right away that it's Yosef, so they're not going to bow down to him. And his dream was, "Batishtachven alalu masi." Everyone is bowing down to him. So he felt that these were nevuas, and a kevish nevuasa is an avera misa b'dei shamayim. He felt obligated to tell over the nevuas to the brothers, and he felt obligated to be mekayim the nevuas later on. Very difficult answer. If you have a nevuah, it's your obligation to be mekayim the nevuah. The nevuah will be fulfilled. Who says you have to be mekayim? I don't know. That's how somehow the Ramban understands like that. Why was he dreaming about Malmim, Alumim? So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a famous drasha for the Mizrahi. There were a couple of years in Rabbi Soloveitchik's lifetime that he was very involved in Israeli politics. He was here in America. He was very involved in Mizrahi. So at that time, he gave a drasha, which is printed, what motivated him to leave the Aguda and to join the Mizrahi. So he says that he thought that the Aguda was like the Aguda in America used to be like a club for Talmid HaChachamim. All the big Talmid HaChachamim belonged to Aguda. But they had no vision for the future. So the Mizrahi had doctors and lawyers and engineers and people who went to university. So they felt that's the future of Judaism in America. We have to get all of the people who are in the world, in the workplace, to become Talmid HaChachamim, to learn and to be B'nai Torah and so on. Now the Aguda is run by doctors, lawyers, engineers, and Indian chiefs and so on. Now the Aguda is doing that. But years ago, when Rav Soloveitchik left the Aguda and joined the Mizrahi, only the Mizrahi was working towards the future. So he said, that's what we have to do. And he said, that was the whole dream of the brothers. That was the whole dream of Yosef. They were shepherds in Eretz Yisrael. And Yosef tells him, I can foresee in the future, we're going to have a different kind of parnasa, we're going to become farmers. So they were laughing at him. What farmers? When farmers? We're shepherds. We're shepherds. Who's going to become a farmer? But Yosef looked into the future. We have to prepare for the future. Things are changing. So that's what that was his interpretation of the Cholim. Malmim Malumim, because they're going to go to Egypt and they're going to have to, and it's going to have to put, he was dreaming how he's going to save Egypt by storing away all of the bundles of food. I remember many years ago, there was someone sent a letter to the editor in the New York Times, which they printed. I have it at home, where they write that in Egypt, the Goyim have storage vaults under the ground, which they call Yosef's storage vaults. The Goyim call it that. And they say that this is from the time that Yosef was there, and he stored away all of the tefuah under the ground. I don't know any Egyptians to corroborate it, but that's what someone sent in a letter to the editor, and they printed that letter. So this was the dream that he envisioned, that his family is going to go into a different line of Parnassim. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, that the Mizrahi had a look towards the future, that they wanted to capture all the Jews in America. In America, he felt. The Jews are going into all the different professions, so we have to have an organization for them. And now that's what the Aguda is now. Agud is run by doctors, lawyers, and engineers. There's a famous comment from the Vilna Goyen on the Pascha HaMoloch Timloch Alayin Im Asholtim Shalbanu. What's the Kef Aloshin? Why say Melech and Moshel? So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that a Melech is one, a Melech Balayom. The Melech is accepted, the nation is Mekabal Ol Malchus Aleihem. So the brothers say, does he think we can accept him as the Melech? Never. They're not going to be Mekabal him. And a Moshel is one who forces his dominion on the nation without their accepting him. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon. So those are the two Lashonos. And then they quote many other Psukim. Kedashem Amlucha Mashal Bagoyim. That right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Melucha by the Jews, and over the Goyim, he's only a Moshel. Bal Korcha, he rules over them, they didn't accept him, but Lassid Lava, Hashem the Melech, I'll call her, it's a day will come, Nimos HaMashiach, all the nations of the world will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will switch from being a Moshel, he will become a Melech over the others. So this is all based on this initial comment that they quote from the Vilna Goyen, HaMoloch Timloch means, with Ritzayn HaTzibur, and Moshel Timshol means, Bal Korchon Shol HaTzibur. The Beis Halevi has a famous comment on the Pasuk. Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef, Lech Narei, V'Shalom Achech, V'Shalom Matzon, V'Hashiveni Dovar. What do we have to say, V'Hashiveni Dovar? Obviously. So he says, the Gemara says in the first Perek in Psochim, that Shluchim Mitzvah Enim Nizoykim. So if he's only going to go, Lech Narei, V'Shalom Achech, then coming back, V'Chazirosim, maybe he doesn't have the status of a Shluchim Mitzvah. So the father added on, V'Hashiveni Dovar. I want you to be the shliach mitzvah when you go, and I want you to be a shliach mitzvah when you come back. What do you need it for? But the Gemara says it there in the first parak. So why was it necessary that he should make Yosef into a shliach mitzvah on the way back, even if he wouldn't be? But also they're not nizokim. I already forgot. I think the Beis HaLevi has some kind of an explanation. Why was it necessary? Pasuk says that Reuven really wanted to save Yosef. He said, let's throw him into the pit, let him die a natural death, we shouldn't kill him, we should only do gram tzicha. But really his kavanah was laman hatzil osam yadam lahashiva alaviv. His kavanah was he's going to come back later and bring him back home. He's not going to leave him there in the pit to do gram tzicha. But then Reuven went away, and then they sold him, and then when Reuven comes back, his whole plan fell through. So there's a famous comment from the Medrash: if Reuven would have realized that the Torah is going to write his kavanah laman hashivo el aviv, he would have carried him on his shoulders back to the father. So that's what the Medrash says, that we don't realize that whenever we do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, we're going to get so much reward for any little sneeze of a mitzvah that we do. If he would realize how much schar there is, look at this pirsum that they gave to Reuven. There's an inyan to be mefarsim ma'asim mitzvah. It's a chashivas. Usually we assume that if a person has a certain midas chasidus and he brags about it, say he loses this schar for the midas chasidus. You're not supposed to brag about your midas chasidus. The Gemara tells a story in Ksubis, I already forgot one. Rabbi Shulman Levi died and he went to heaven, and then they asked him, Nirus HaKesh is Biyamecha, did the rainbow appear during your lifetime? So he says, sure, when it rains, the rainbow appears. So they say, oh, so you're not the big tzaddik that we thought you were. There was such a rumor about you, you were such a big tzaddik. The rainbow is only, in Parshas Noach, it says the rainbow only appears as a simon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not destroy the world. So if you live in a generation with such an unusual tzaddik like Rabbi Shulman Levi, Baruch Shalom is not going to destroy the world anyway. So there's no need to have any rainbow. So the fact that the rainbow appeared during his lifetime indicates that he's not the big tzaddik that they thought that he was. That's what the Gemara says. We don't understand the rainbow. The Ramban Chumash says rainbow is a natural occurrence. It's based on physics. We don't understand, but that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, and the truth of the matter is that the rainbow never did appear during his lifetime, because he was such a holy tzaddik, but he didn't want to brag. So when he came to the Malachim and they asked him whether the rainbow appeared, he said, yeah, the rainbow appeared. He told a lie. What are they writing, an almanac? What are they writing, an encyclopedia? They have to know when the rainbow appeared. It's not Nogeya. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if someone is fasting, let's say on Bahab, someone's fasting at Tainus Tzadikim, and someone asks, are you fasting? You should tell a lie. You should say, I'm not fasting. Unless they want to count you for a minion. They want to know if they have enough people to lane by Chal. So then you tell them, yeah, I'm fasting. You can give me an aliyah. You can count me in for the minion. But if it's not relevant, then you should lie. You should cover up on the midas chasidus that you do. So really, when people give tzedakah, they shouldn't really advertise that they're giving tzedakah, how much tzedakah they're giving. So why do we have a practice to make an appeal in public? And people call out how much money they're giving, or a person donates a paroichas or a mentala for a sefer Torah, so they put on the paroichas, this was donated by such and such a family, in memory of so and so. So that's a tshubas harashbo, it's quoted in Yerideya, in Hilchas Tzedakah, that mefarsim in ma'asei mitzvah, that sometimes you'll gain by that. We should advertise who gave this parochas or this sefer Torah, so other people should see. That guy's not a multi-billionaire. I'm as rich as he is also. I can also give. I should also give to encourage other people. I remember I was just married a few years, and I went on vacation with my wife to a hotel, to a kosher hotel. And then that Shabbos they were there, so the Rosh Yeshiva from the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn was there for Shabbos. He was making an appeal for the yeshiva. So the people were calling out $10, $15, very small donations. I felt awful. So I learned a couple of summers when I was in high school. I learned a few summers in the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So I called out $100. After I called out $100, people turned around. This guy giving $100. So they were calling out bigger pledges. So then when I came, that was my kavana. I wanted that she see I'm giving $100. They should give more. So it worked. So after Shabbos, when I was about to make out the check, so the Rosh Yeshiva didn't want to take my $100 check. He said, I can't afford that. I said, I can't afford it. I wanted to give. But that's an Indian sometimes, to call out. Sometimes people call out. The rich man calls out $10. That kills the whole appeal. You have to call out the larger amounts first, the larger pledges. So that's what the Rashba says. And it's true, the Farsim in my say mitzvah, to encourage other people that they should also give tzedakah. We usually assume that when a relative dies, so one mourns the death of the relative, and then you get over it after a while. You forget about it. You think about other things. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes in the Gemara, it's Gzeira al Ameis, Sheishtakech min Alev, after Yud Beis Chodesh. It's Gzeira min HaShemayim. And only works if the guy's really dead. It says, "Vayikumu kol bano b'chol banos of the nachama vayimoein lehisnachem." Why is vayimoein lehisnachem? Because he wasn't dead. Yosef was alive. It's not that the natural course of events. If you worry about tzoros achronis b'shakchus as a b'shainus, it's only a gzer al ameis. So if Yosef wasn't a meis, so the father is not going to continue to cry till the day that he dies. He's going to cry over the death of his son till the day that he dies, because the son didn't die. Interesting. The Gemara understands Gzeira al Ameis. That's why many in Eastern Europe have the minhag that you put up the matzev at the Yud Beis Chodesh, because it's Gzeira al Ameis, Yishtakech min Alev after Yud Beis Chodesh. So some put up the matzev before, right towards the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh, so we shouldn't forget about the mace. And some put up the matzeva. The minig is dafka after the Yud Beis Chodesh are up, after we already forgot about this nifta. So we put up a matzeva, we should remember him. Rabbi Kivager on Yerudea, on the page, quotes the two minhagim. Now in Eretz Yisrael they have a minig they put up after the Shloshim, they put up the matzeva. But in Eastern Europe, the minig used to be that they put up the matzeva by the Yud Beis Chodesh. Then the Torah tells about Yehuda. Yehuda married a girl, Shua. So she has one baby. It says, Vayikrishmo Er. The father gave a name. She has another baby, Vatikrishmo, and she gave the baby a name. Then she has a third baby, Vatikrishmo Sheva. She gave the baby a name. What does that mean? So the Daz came, Bali Ataisvis has a famous comment that the first baby, the father has a right to give a name. Vayikrishmo, second baby alternate, the mother has a right. Third baby, the father should give the name, but he was out of town at the time. Vayibirzibulidatosi, he was out of town, so the mother had to give the name. So that's why it says Vatikrishmo Shela. So she gave the name. So in the collection of letters from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they have a collection of letters in the order of the Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Letters that he wrote that in the get to different dinim. So he quotes this Das Kenim Bali HaTesvus, that the father has the right to name the first baby, mother has the right to name the second baby. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over this story. He said that he was the first child born to his parents, and he was named after his great-grandfather. Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi was the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he says, and what's the kasha? So everybody looks, what's the kasha? Why is that a kasha? So he said, the kasha is that the mother is supposed to have the right to name the first baby. So why wasn't he named after someone in the mother's family? Why? How come he was named after his father's grandfather? So he said, because, the answer is, because Rav Chaim came to his mother when the baby was born. And Rav Chaim told her that his father, the Beis HaLevi, had passed away, I think 20 years earlier, something like that, a long time earlier, and no one in the family had a boy, so nobody was named after him. So he asked his Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother. He said, "Al pi minig and al pi din, she has the right to name the first baby." I don't know what that means. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik says. That the minig is and the din is like that. I don't know what the din is like that. That the mother has the right to name the first baby. Not like this. That's the Kenan Bali Atesis. But he's asking her as a favor that she should name the baby after his father, the Beis Halevi. And usually Rab Chaim was afraid to see blood. Not afraid. I think he was once the Sandik and the baby died. So he didn't want to be a Sandik again. He felt that he was an accomplice to the murder because the Sandik holds down the baby when the Moel cuts him up. So, and the baby died, so he felt guilty. He was holding on the baby when the Moel was killing him. So he didn't want to be the Sandik. So he said if she agrees to name the baby after his father, he'll serve as the Sandik, which was exceptional for him. So she agreed. And then when it came time for the bris, Rab Chaim disappeared. He didn't live up to his half of the deal. But the mother promised she's going to name the baby Yosef Dayv. So that's why he had that name. So that's how he used to tell it over the story. He used to say he's the oldest child. He's named after his father, his grandfather. So what's the kasha? It's a funny way of presenting it.
Rabbi, didn't you say that Yehuda gave him the first name?
Yeah.
That's the
father. Yeah, the Daz Kanim says the reverse, right? That's what the Babaji Rebbe quotes the Daz Kanim. The father has the right to name the first baby, the mother, the second, the father, the third, and you alternate. And here Rabbi Soloveitchik claims that his grandfather said, "Al pi minig and al pi din." I don't know what it means, al pi din. I don't know what that means. There's a din. Who has the right to name the babies? I don't know what it means. It's farket from what it says in the Daz Kanim. The Gemara interprets the psukim v'shiches arzo, that he was motzi zera levatola. He was, when people want to practice birth control, so there are different forms of birth control. So one method is against the din. One method is when the people are in the middle of tashmish, so before the zera comes out, so the husband removes himself from the wife, and then he's motzi zera levatola. So that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be motzi zera levatola. The simple reading in the Gemara implies that it's a real Issa Derais, and the Gemara understands that Yechai Misa B'dei Shamayim Vayomis Vayera B'yeni Hashem Vayomis Gamoso. He was punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. And when you look in Eben Ezra, a lot of Achrayim on the Daf assume that it's only an Asmachta, it's only with the Rabban, and that's not what it really means. But the Pashup Shat in Gemara is that it's a real Issa Derais. The Poskim say, let's say a person knows that his Zera is not Roy LaHazriya. So strictly speaking, there is Nirisa of Moitzi Zera LaVatola, but still it's not a normal way to lead a life. I'm dealing with a person who's married and he's a ger, and before he converted, he was a very wild guy. What motivated him to convert? I think his father is Jewish, maybe. So now, even though he's married, also everything is very irregular. So it turns out that his zera is not Roy LaHazriya. He adopted, I think, or they had artificial insemination from someone else, and he wants to do hashchosa zera. So that's not, even though he's not Roy LaHazriya, it's not a normal way to lead a life, always to do hashchosa zera. The Gemara considers it a very serious issue. Even if one should assume it's only the Rabbanan, still considered a serious issue. Yeah, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishah, Kodem Matan Torah, the din was Hayodam Pagei Isha Bashuk, a man can go to a prostitute, and this was permissible. And he gives a whole description like a Yehuda with the Tomar. And after Matan Torah, this is prohibited. That's an Isser of Lo Yeh Kodesh Ben Ben Isser of Lo Yeh Kedesha. One of Pane Habol Apnuya, the Shem's Nus, he's not Megadisher. The Rambam writes that that's an Issa Deraisa. The full Isser, the real violation of the Isser, is only if it's in a form of prostitution. If she's Mufkeris and Mizamanis Liznus, then the Rambam says that there'll be Malkus. Because it's like, if you eat Chaza, if you eat a Kazayas, then there's the Issa Bishlimus. If you have a Chatzishir, it's also Manat Torah. But it's an Issa Shalob Bishlimus, it's on Chatzishir. There's no Malkus. That's how we pass them. One Tana holds Chatzishir, Shimon holds kosher ul malchus, mishne malchus. We don't pass on like that. We pass on, in order to get malchus for eating non-kosher food, you have to eat a kazayis. So if you eat less than a kazayis, it's an isa deraisa. So here also, if someone is bala pnuya, the woman is a prostitute. Every week she sleeps with someone else. She takes money from this one, money from that one, and every night he sleeps with a different woman. So that's mamish liya kodesh v'lesiya gresha. That's the real isa. So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Naira Besula, in such a case there will be malchus. But in the beginning of Hilchas Ishas, he's not talking about the malchus. He says whenever it's pan habo'al apnuya, the shame znus, even though it's not mufkeres mizamenes liznus, it's like a chatzi shir of the isa. So there will be an isa. There will be an isa deraisa, but there won't be malchus. The rabbi thinks that the whole isa is only if mufkeres mizamenes liznus. The rabbi is masagan the Rambam. So the Rambam quotes that this kind of matan Torah, this kind of action was mutter, and then he was going to pay her. And then he left an eirovain ad sholchecha, and then when he sent his friend, vayishlach Yehuda's gedihu izin biad reyehu hadulam, he was giving an esnan zayna, and his goyish friend went to bring it, v'loy mitzah, he couldn't find her. And he asked the people, where's the Zayna? Where's the professional prostitute who was here the other day? They said, there is no professional prostitute. It was only that one time she was there. They didn't know what he was talking about. So there's a famous story about one of the Hasidish Rebbes, I forgot which one. Apirish Melech Dinever, the one who wrote the Bnei Yisoschar, quotes this story in his other sefer. Bnei Yisoschar is all mostly Hasidus. Kabbalah and Hasidus. He has another sefer that's a lot of halacha. The Derech Pikudecha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes him in one place. Derech Pikudecha is like a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He only goes to the middle of Mishpatim, 55 mitzvahs or so. And every mitzvah he divides into three parts, Machshava, Dibra, Maisen. So he tells you, he gives you a brief description of what the mitzvah is all about, like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Then he has some Chidushim about the mitzvah, and then he gives you a Tamei HaMitzvah. Alpi Nigla, Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Hasidus, a little bit. So, and it ends in the middle of Mishpatim. The Hasidim are not sure whether he never wrote the rest or whether the rest was lost. Whatever. So, in that Sefer, he tells this story that once a Hasidish Tzaddik was visiting in a village. So, one of the Misnagdim wanted to see what this Rebbe is all about. So, the Misnagdim lived on one side of town. So, he walked to the other side of town to be by the Tish, by the Rebbe's Tish, by Shalashudas. So the Rebbe said, there's a noif in the room and he wants the noif to please leave. So everybody's looking at everybody else, who's the noif? They're all religious people. And no one moved. No one walked out of the room. And he said again, he wants the noif to leave. And then he said, Ayei Hakdesha, hi vaynaim ala darach. Someone walked from the other side of town to here, and on the way they were walking through the Goyisha section of the city, and it was the summertime and the women were half undressed. So that's the noyif that he's talking about. So that was the misnagid. Misnagid walked from the other side of town. And as he walked through the Goyish section, all the non-Jewish women were half undressed. So he has that story. So apparently Rabbi Reichman told this story, must have been 15 years ago, to his students. So last year when I visited, where was I? Somewhere in the south. I was at some Shabbaton in the south. So we stayed by this fellow who had learned by Rabbi Reichman. So he told us over that he remembered that story. From everything that he learned by Rabbi Reichman, he remembered that story. You have to be careful when you walk in the street not to look at Ayei HaKdesha, Hivu Einayim Al HaDarach. So Yehuda says, Hotziyo V'Sisareif. The Gemara understands that we're going to throw her into the Kibshan Ho'esh. They're really going to kill her. Hotziyo v'sisareif. The Tur quotes in the name of his father, the Rosh. He thinks that what it meant was that whenever they would catch a woman who was, or it quotes Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, here it is, they would put like the scarlet letter. They would put an A on her forehead, adulterist or something like that, a Zayin on her forehead. Hotziyo v'sisareif. Because Rabbi Rochas, it just means they would make a mark on her forehead, so everyone would know that this woman is a Zayna. But the Gemara understands that it means with Sisa Reif to burn her. And then the Gemara says, so why didn't she say why didn't she say that she was mezana with her father-in-law? She didn't want to say. The Gemara learns that from here, that there's a serious avera to be malbim p'nei chaver b'rabim, and it's even preferable to give up your life rather than to humiliate a human being. When he heard that she's pregnant, the one who was the owner of the chesamis and the psilim and the mata made her pregnant, he realized that was him. So then he voluntarily said, "Tzot kamimani, I'm the one who made her pregnant." But she didn't want to say because it's better to give up your life. So Tosfos asks the kasha, how come the Gemara in Sanhedrin has the sugya of Yehoreg Val Yaver? It only says that there were three averes. I would azar gilei rice and shvichas damim. It doesn't mention anything about malbim p'nei chaver b'rab. How come it doesn't have the fourth exception to the rule? So Tosfos answers, that's an often a pasuk that you don't have to. The Gemara doesn't have to tell us that. That's elementary. Everybody knows that from Chumash. The Gemara has to tell you Avodah Zarah is a machloikis, but you say Yehoreg Val Yaver. We paskin that you say Yehoreg Val Yaver. Other Rishonim wanted to paskin, there's no Yehoreg Val Yaver by Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos and Maseches Avodah Zarah writes Chas v'Shalom to paskin like that. The Balei Tosfos a lot of times lost their lives during the period of the Crusades. They would not convert even at the expense of losing their lives. So Tosfos has a lashon Chas v'Shalom to say that you paskin like that. The Psak HaMekubal was that you do say Yehoreg Val Yaver b'Rabbah Zor Gilei Rashi v'Chazama, that doesn't say in Chumash. Malbim p'nei chaver b'Rabbah does say in Chumash. That's what Tosfos answers. There's a famous explanation that Rabbeinu Yonah has in the Shari Tshuva. He says there's really a machlokes harishonim about this, that you say Yehoreg Val Yaver b'Gilei Arayis, is it only on actual Gilei Arayis? What about Abizrahu of Gilei Arayis? Would you also say Yehoreg Val Yaver?
Doesn't Tosfos say that the big three are Mefurash of Bekra and Habarach Nechayah was not Mefurash Bekra?
Oh, I thought Tosfos said the reverse, no? What's the Loshan? You have the Loshan of Tosfos there?
Yeah, Kedemar Perkazahav, he says, V'nire hai delach hashiv lei v'hadi gimel ha-beirot she'ein omdim v'fnei tikoach nefesh avadach l'chavim gil ha-rayot v'shilut yamim yishun te'avirat Habarach Nechayim eina Mefureshet ha-Torah.
The Aver is not Mefurish in the Torah. Is there another Tosfos somewhere? I thought there was another Tosfos. Maybe I mixed it up.
And
Sota. Okay, gotta take a look. Okay. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a different suggestion. There is a machlokes in halacha lemaisa. There's a steer in Shulchan Aruch. When you say Yehoreg Val Yaver by Avodah Zarah, is that only to worship Avodah Zarah? What if the only way to run away from the Nazis is by using a canoe, and the canoe happens to be Avodah Zarah? So I'll be nenem in Avodah Zarah. I won't be worshiping Avodah Zarah. I'll be nenem in Avodah Zarah. So you say Yehoreg Val Yaver on that as well. So that's a machlokes in Rishonim and Astir in Shulchan Aruch had a paskin. Well, the same thing would you say Yehoreg Val Yaver on Abizrahu of Gilei Arayis Yichud. That was a story here in America. A boy took a girl on a date and they went on a Ferris wheel, and they were the last customers of the day, so they were all the way on top. And then the guy riding the Ferris wheel forgot that there was a customer there, and he closed up shop and he went home, and they were screaming, "Let us down," and he didn't let him down.
It was a ski thing.
Oh, it was a ski trip? I forgot already the detail. So the Shaila was, the girl was Anita, and the boy felt that it's going to be dark and it's going to be an Issa Yichud. So the girl said she's going to, they're not allowed to violate Yichud. It's Yehoreg Val Yaver. But the boy said, "You got to get off, you're going to get killed." So the girl said, "It's Yehoreg Val Yaver." So the girl jumped off, I think, not the boy. The boy happened later on. The boy, he didn't marry her. The boy later on put out Svarim. Everybody uses his Svarim. But he learned here and then he went to Lakewood and he put out Svarim. So the girl jumped down and she broke a leg. So there was a court case whether the company is mukhif to pay for the girl's injuries. So they had an expert witness to testify. If the Jewish law requires that she has to jump down, if there really is such a din, then the company is held responsible. They're mukhif to pay. If there's no such din, then the company is not going to pay because she did a dvarshtu. So they got a rabbi to come and testify that that it was Yehar Gval Yavar. But that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. But they say Yehar Gval Yavar in such a case. This was written up. The lawyers have their own newspaper where they write all the latest cases that came up. So this whole story was written up in the newspaper with the boy's name and the girl's name, the whole thing. They didn't get married. Why should they marry a girl with a broken leg? Yeah. So that's what the Rabbi Yonah says over here. He says that Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, the Gemara says in Perek HaZohav, is an abizrayu of shvichas damim, because when a person has rosy cheeks, a normal complexion, and then he's humiliated, so he all the blood rushes out of his face and he has a pale face. So in a certain sense, that's shvichas damim. The Gemara says it's abizrayu of shvichas damim. So the so Rabbi Yonah takes it literally. You look in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted at all. They don't quote this Gemara. Noechlo shiapel atzma lekipshan eish. So the Biskerov in the notes on Saito that they have, the Biskerov says the Rambam understood that it's an agarata. Maybe they understood like this Rabbi Yudah Chassid that the Baal HaTurim quotes. Otsiyo b'sitzoret means they're going to burn the scarlet letter in a fire. Maybe it does mean that they're going to kill her. But the Tosfos understood kipshuta that she's going to lose her life. Okay. Midas Chasidus? Okay. Very good. Very good. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk that once Yosef was in charge, Vayish Matzliach, everything was. The boss was Matzlich and Parnasa. So the world learns that from this pasuk that Tekev the Talmud Chacham Bracha. When you associate in business with the Talmud Chacham, then you're going to be Matzlich. That's why the Lubavitcher Chassidim, many years, when they would enter into a business deal, they would write down the Rebbe's name as a shutif in the business. And the Rebbe told them they should give tzedakah, his share. They should give the tzedakah. The Rebbe was very big on tzedakah. There used to be one of the fellows who worked here in the registrar's office, Mai Redelstein. He always used to go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he once made him a shutuf in some investment that he made, and he asked the Rebbe. The Rebbe said that he should give tzedakah. So he said, should I wait till I make the money and then give the tzedakah, or should I give the tzedakah now? So he said, the Rebbe told him without batting an eyelash, better that the Rabbanim Shalom should be a Baal Chayv to you than you should be a Baal Chayv to him. He says, give the tzedakah now in advance. So the Rabbanim Shalom said to him, you'll be Matzliach. So he was. He used to be Matzliach when he made investments because he felt because Biglal Yosef. By Baruch Hashem is Beis HaMitzvah, Biglal Yosef, because take of the Talmud Chacham Bracha. So the Pasuk tells us that the Eishes Potiphar was encouraging him mamish every day. He could have brought Yosef yom yom. I don't know if I would have a woman every day enticing me to be mezana. I probably would fall in. Yosef was an unusual tzaddik. He sees the woman every single day. He could have brought Yosef yom yom. But lo shamay ladish kavetz lali Yosef, he refused to violate Gilei Arayis. The woman was an Eishes Ish. We refer to Yosef as Yosef Atzadik. So some say Atzadik, some say Pesechus Yedechem Azbil Chol Chai Ratzon Tzadik Al Shem B'chol Derochem, because the Rebbe Shalom gives food to everybody, that's why he's a Tzadik. So some say we refer to Yosef Atzadik because he saved the whole world. He put away so much food, he stored all the food, and he saved them in the years of famine. Others say he's called Yosef HaTzadik because he had this girl who was enticing him to be mezana with her every single day, yom yom, and he withstood the temptation. You have to, that's where the Yetzer Hara is. Young people, old people, everybody has, healthy people have the Yetzer Hara. Healthy men have the Yetzer Hara for good looking women. So you have to be careful. Pashta says that Potiphar knew that it was a lie. He knew his wife was a screwball, but and he knew Yosef was a tzaddik. He knew who was telling the truth, telling a lie. But his wife was screaming that Yosef wanted to rape her, so he had no choice. So he had to put him in prison. Even though he knew that it was a lie, he had no choice. So the Torah tells the way Yosef interpreted the dreams, and he interpreted correctly, and then he requested of the Sar HaMashkim ki im zechatane yitcho kashe yitav loch asise mori chesed es katane bal tzatzane men abayis hazeh ki gunob gudavte mi eretz avim. Get me out of this prison, I'm innocent, I didn't do anything, get me out of the prison. So the Medrash said, Rashi quotes it, that Yosef was punished, when he made a sign that he had to stay in prison another 2 years, because he requested assistance from the Sar HaMashkim. So all the Mefarshim ask an obvious kasha, what you mechiv to do is shtadlos. And all of life you mechiv to do some shtadlos. You don't just sit back and daven to the Rebbe Shlomo. So what's so bad about the fact that he requests, kim zahatani yitcho? So the different suggestions are given. So the Chazon Ish says, you have to do a hishtadlus that's reasonable. If it's totally unreasonable, then it indicates that that you just gave up hope. So the Medrash says that the Mitzrayim had such a midah, meguna, of being ingrates. So Yosef requesting of him, I did you a toiva, I interpreted the dream for you, the toiva, and you're going to become free, so remember me and get me out of here. So to ask a Mitzri to help you, even out of Hakoras HaToiv, is a ridiculous request. It doesn't make any sense at all. So such a futile hishtadlus, that's not called hishtadlus, that's ridiculous. It just indicates that he had just given up hope that he's ever going to get out of prison. Otherwise, why does he do such a ridiculous ishtadlus? We all have a chiyuv to do ishtadlus in life, but it has to be within reason. Many have the practice when they recite Kiddush Abdullah, so they hold a cup on the palm of the hand. And they base it, I think the Shalom has that practice, they base it on the pasuk here, that's the more bekovedik away. The eaten is a kos al kaf para. You hold the kos on the kaf, on the palm of your hand, and you, instead of holding it like this. My father used to do like that. I don't do like that because I'm afraid I'm going to spill the wine. My father didn't spill the wine. Chassidim do like that because it says in the Shalom. Parah celebrated his birthday, he made a party. That's what the Gemara says on Avodah Zarah in the first perek, that by the Nochrim, when it's the king's birthday, so they make a celebration, and a lot of times they bring special korbanos to their Avodah Zarah. So that's what some poskim say, that celebrating birthdays is a meaning that comes from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, based on that Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that on the king's birthday they always used to celebrate. And others say, no, what, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the baby is 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the person reached a nice age. Suda Zayin Shana, the Prima Gaon quotes a Chavis Yoyer, that when a person reaches the age of 70, that's a Suda's Mitzvah. The Pasuk says, Meshna Sein Abraham Shivim Shana. It's normal that a person should live to the age of 70. So when you reach the age of 70, you throw a party. Gemara says that one of the Amoraim, the last daf in Moed Kut, one of the Amoraim threw a party when he reached the age of 50, because one of his chayich kares The Gemara says one will die before the age of 50. Misa Shamaim is less than Karis. He'll die by the age of 60. That's how it says in the Bavli. I think the Avnei Miluim in the beginning of Avnei Ezer quotes a Yerushalmi that has to reverse that Misa B'dei Shamayim is Mochamba than Koris. But in the Bavli, the end of Ma'ikotin, says that Koris is Mochamba Koris, he died 50. So one of the Amarai made a party when he reached the age of 50. Maybe he'll die before the age of 60. So he said, okay, but at least he's Yotzim Mechlal Koris, so he's throw a party. So other people make a party every year on their birthday. It's a Suda Saidoi. They're happy that they survived another year. And some hold that it's a chukas akum, that it started out as it was always used to be connected with a religious ritual for Avodah Zarah. Okay, I'm going away today to Baltimore. I plan to be back Sunday morning. I think I will be able to give a shiur. We'll probably continue on Baba Kama. Okay.